This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
I was just trying to be like you.
I want you to be better. I'm going to need a suit back.
But I'm nothing without this suit.
If you're nothing without this suit, then you shouldn't have it.
Welcome to the Ultimate Marvel Podcast, episode 21, and this is our Spider-Man Homecoming review number 2, part 2. So, once again, let me throw out a big fat spoiler warning.
This is your official spoiler warning.
We have full-on spoilers, so if you haven't seen the movie, like always with these movie reviews, turn this off, go see the movie, and then come back once you've seen it so we don't ruin it for you. But I got back with me once again, expert Spider-Man guru, Daryl Taylor of the Taylor Podcast Network. Daryl, like coming out of this movie, I really sort of had mixed emotions.
Why? I was really hyped about it going in. Coming out of it, I had sort of mixed emotions about it. But Nick loved it. And like one of his top MCU movies ever, loved it.
Really?
Yeah. And so he started pulling me in that direction a little bit the more we talked about it. Now, I have a feeling you're going to pull me back to the center, though.
I gave it a B-, which is not a failure. It's not a bad movie. It was a B. I think it was a solid B-.
Yeah.
Like, to be real, Tom Holland wasn't even my favorite actor or part in the movie. I thought it was Michael Keaton's character that was my favorite.
Yeah, he was great.
In the movie. I think he was so well done, and he played that character so well. When he came on screen, I was a little bit, you know, more interested in knowing what was going on with this gang. I wanted to know what was that about.
Yeah.
There were just certain things missing for Spider-Man, for me, as a Spider-Man fan. Like, to be so into Tony Stark as your inspiration and not your uncle.
Yeah, that was different.
It seemed different to me, weird and different to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that threw me off. Like, not being as independent.
Yeah.
I'm used to him, like, he's a guy that suit.
Right.
He sewed his own suit. Like, he kind of did everything on his own. At least they kept the web fluid thing going. I like that. They kept that in there.
So that's because they didn't do the whole origin thing. They were playing.
Right.
This was totally piggybacking off Civil War.
Right. Which was weird, though, because you kept referring to Aunt May being...
She's
emotionally
different.
But he kept saying how Aunt May was an emotionally frail right now, right?
Yeah.
But you don't say why.
Yeah.
It was like somebody just say, I'm not saying I don't want to see the origin over again. I've seen it enough.
Yeah, everybody.
But at least refer back to, it seemed weird to your whole point of being Spider-Man was to make up for your uncle being murdered.
Right.
How can you not mention him in a whole movie and your whole inspiration? Tony Stark should not be your only inspiration. I'm sorry. Like, that's just not Spider-Man. Or is that the new Spider-Man? I don't.
See, I saw Tony Stark as sort of just like a mentor where he wants to be Spider-Man. Maybe that's his motivation, is still like the original origin. But Tony Stark is like, okay, that's the guy who's already doing it. Like, if you're a young athlete, you have your like LeBron James and your Cam Newtons that you look up to, and you're
sure.
Like, I want to be that guy, right? And now that might not be your dad or uncle or whoever behind you that's pushing you, but that's the guy you sort of idolize. Sort of the way I saw it.
I get it, but if that's the guy, unless you change his origin, if that's the guy who, if I was responsible, like if there was a dude I didn't stop when I could have, and he wound up murdering my uncle, who pretty much raised me.
Yeah.
As my dad. Listen, I could still be inspired by Captain America and Iron Man and all these other heroes. Yes, I'd still be inspired. But I'm going to mention, I still mention my grandfather. Yeah. He was kind of my dad. He brought, you know, like he helped bring me up. There are things you're going to mention about the people that raised you. It's just a part of you.
Yeah.
Especially as a kid, and he was recently murdered. You know, he couldn't have been that long ago. Even if it was a year ago, you're not going to forget him. Right. To not mention him at all. Even the scene where he has to pull, you know, like he has to pull all of his, every ounce of will and strength that he has. I don't want to see no freaking Tony Stark voiceover in your head. I want to hear you talk about my uncle. Point.
Right.
I want to hear you bring
that's a good point,
there.
But I wonder how, since they hadn't gone there the whole movie, putting that there
takes two seconds.
Well, but people would have been like, we haven't talked about his uncle the whole movie. Why is this? They would have had to plug it earlier for it to make sense.
I know, that's what I mean. It would take 2 seconds to plug that in. A picture with you and your uncle and your aunt.
A dream aunt, or some...
A dream, your aunt mentioning when he had that first argument with the aunt, and she's talking about, like, what's going on with you. And, you know, when she's worried about him. When she's worried about him on the boat. And she's like, after your uncle, I can't, you know, after Ben, I can't have it. I can't have anything happen to you. Like, right? That's a quick thing. Like, that's a, right?
Yeah, I get that.
It's a quick thing. Like, it doesn't have to add, it doesn't add any more time to it. That's a quick thing in the dialogue.
And it would have,
in and out.
It would have made sense because it seemed like they were trying really hard to pull from the comic books. Like, even throwing characters in there that had no relevance to the story at all.
Exactly.
So let's just put Cindy Moon in there because comic fans will know who that is.
Because comic fans would know who that is. Exactly. Like, how do you not have that in? And Ben is in every version. He's in the Ultimate version.
Yeah.
The old Spider-Man, it's old heads, the new version, and the current version. Like, he's in every version. So why not just give him a shout out?
Yeah,
and maybe they'll leave it at that.
Maybe they'll do more of that in the next one.
It seemed like they were so scared about the other movies and people not mentioning the other ones,
right?
That they got away from that completely.
Yeah, it felt to me like they were trying really hard for this not to be another Spider-Man movie, but for this to be an MCU movie.
Yeah,
like they were. I mean, there was more flashbacks and Easter eggs in this movie than I remember in any of the Marvel movies, and which I loved. The one thing, and this is nitpicky, but it felt a little bit like a desperation because they didn't do anything to push the MCU forward. They just relied on it to sort of to pull this movie into what's already kind of working.
Yeah, it was a crutch. It was like a crutch. It was holding it up.
Yeah.
It was like, this is all safe. You're going to love this. This is the world of Avengers. We got the tower here. We got, you know, we got all the stuff going on. The only thing they threw in there that kind of moved, the only moving tissue for it is the status of Tony and Pepper. That's like the only thing in this movie.
Yeah.
That was anything that will probably connect to why she's in.
Right.
The next Avengers Infinity. Because they did mention she'd be in it. And it was like, why? Why is she even in it? Now we know why.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I wonder, like, the like this whole sort of feud, the back and forth stuff they've had with Venom and whether or not he's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it seems like it's sort of been Sony saying, oh, yeah, we're in there. And Marvel kind of pushing back, saying, not quite so fast. I could kind of feel it. That's how this movie felt as well. But maybe that was the one plug. They said, okay, here's where we're going with this character. You can stick it in there.
I got a feeling, though, if they do the Venom movie, it's not going to be rated R anymore.
Yeah, that's going to be a shame.
If they do the Venom movie and they have Peter Parker in it, I can see the MCU saying, you're not going to do a rated R version and have Peter in it. so you better figure something out.
Right, because Marvel has just straight out said they're not going to do our movies.
Right. So I could see that being the give back they would have to do. It's like, all right, if we allow him to be in this movie for 10 minutes or so, you got to make it a hard PG-13. Like, if you could get as close as you can, like, you can't show blood. It'll probably have to be no blood. You can't do sex humor.
But yeah, you can get violent. Maybe that's why they're trying to sort of disconnect from the Spider universe outside of Peter Parker.
Yeah, but that'd be the dumbest thing to do.
Why?
If you're going to try to launch, if you're trying to launch this Venom, Sabretooth, Black Cat, you want to have Spider-Man. You want to get the people that went to watch Spider-Man to go see that movie and jump on to the next. Then you cannot have Spider-Man in it ever again. Like, you could, whoever becomes Venom, you could do that whole thing of him being an anti-hero thing, but you need to, I'm talking about for a standpoint of getting the most audience you want for this to lead it off. You need to connect it with Spider-Man.
With Peter Parker, but not the rest of the, because Peter Parker sort of seems like the character that'll bridge the two.
Right. But if you don't have him in it, and you have him, it's going to be 10 times harder to do this Venom movie and Sabretooth. Yeah. I mean, and the Silver Sable and Black Cat movie if you don't have Peter in this at all.
Right.
It's going to be much harder, and it's smarter to and connect it. Like, you can do Venom, you can still do Venom in a horror way, but you have to be smarter on how you do the script. And it's ways to do it. I've seen good thriller-like PG-13 horror movies. They've been good. But you got to be smart. They're going to have to be smarter. And that means you can't half-ass throw this up. Like, you can't rush it and then throw something up there and be all right with it. You're going to have to really write. Like, I like the director that they picked for these two movies. Mm-hmm. It's the script stuff that you got to worry about.
Yeah.
Like, I like the other I like the other director that did Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man 2. But Amazing Spider-Man 2 died on you forced him to do that damn story. Y'all rushed that script and you forced him to do it. That's not his fault. That's the fault of the people with the scripts.
Yeah, so, and now you liked that. You liked Amazing Spider-Man better than the Tobey Maguire.
Oh, totally. I thought he was a much better Peter Parker to me, and Spider-Man. I liked him 10 times more.
I sort of agree. Like, I thought I liked him better as an actor in that role, but
he gave more.
I didn't like the movies more. I liked the Spider-Man movies more than.
I liked Amazing more than I liked. I liked Amazing much more than Amazing 2. Amazing 2 was a mess. That was a mess. But like Spider-Man, like, I'm not really a Raimi fan, a Sam Raimi fan, really. Spider-Man was okay to me.
Yeah.
But then there were parts in. There are parts in both Spider-Man 2 and 3 that I like, and parts that just I didn't. Like, if I could grab certain parts, like the octopus Spider-Man fights and stuff, yes. Some of that stuff, when it gets back to Tobey Maguire, I'm out. Like, that's the thing that gets me out, is when it every time it goes back to Tobey Maguire, I lose all interest in the movie. When it gets back to Spider-Man, I'm back in.
Right.
Like, and that's not a good movie if I'm just in for just that. Like, you got to sell it. You got to sell Peter, and you got to sell Spider-Man.
Now, but that's what I like about this movie, though, was, and I know we disagree on this, because I thought Tom Holland has been awesome. Since Civil War, even the stuff he's done to promote the movie, I think he's the best Peter Parker out of the three.
It's a whole thing of me being old and being young again, and Peter being young, just the young version.
Yeah,
because
Tom Holland's young. I think he was 19 when they started recording this.
And they write him like he's a 15-year-old kid because he's annoying as hell to me in some scenes, and then he's better in others because teenagers are annoying at times. You do dumb things, right? That's part of it. That's whole part of the.
That's the character too.
That's the kid. So yeah, he's done dumb things. Yes, that's a teenager. That's the whole thing. Was his mistake? It's his mistake in the that caused his origin.
Yeah,
was he did something dumb, and now he's trying to atone for it. He doesn't automatically come out of the spider bite smart and okay. You know, like, I mean, in terms of common sense, like, you know, he's a smart kid, of course. But so it is like they did what they were supposed to do. They wrote him as a teenager. He is very much a teenager. So on top of that, me being an old man adult, I'm like, damn, you're so annoying sometimes. Like, I wanted to yell. I was like Tony wanting to yell at him.
Yeah.
At some of the stuff he was doing. But that was the point.
Right.
You know, to make him do something very dumb.
I see a theme here, because you and Martin also were sort of critical of Daphne Keene and Logan. Because y'all said she was kind of young and annoying. For different reasons, but similar.
Yeah, she was, she wasn't as annoying because she really didn't say anything. Like,
maybe that was more Martin that was saying.
Yeah, I think that was more Martin. I was more for her, but she really didn't, because she really didn't say anything until almost the end of the movie. I mean, her part was pretty limited in terms of speaking, but for the most part, I mean, she was pretty likable. I mean, she helped him out, and she was comic relief when they needed it, and she was that emotional point. You know, she was the emotional point of the story, especially after Xavier died. That was the push for Logan. So, she wasn't a bad kid. I couldn't see a movie with. I don't think I could see a X-23 movie with her being that age, without me getting bored by it. Unless they throw in a lot of other stuff. You know, like.
Oh, you mean with her as the main?
As her as the main the one. I can't see a movie with just her being a main.
They'll have to bring in the other kids and stuff.
They got
and make
to.
It a yeah,
and some mentors and stuff. Like you gotta like explain that whole thing of what's going on in Canada. That whole thing, like you gotta kind of get into that.
Yeah, well, especially since she doesn't speak English, they're not going to subtitle the whole movie or just have her be silent.
No,
or all of a sudden she learns English and
you know
fluent.
They will. If they did that movie, you know they probably have it. Like it's a couple years after, you know, she learned English eventually, and you know, which it would have to be because if they by the time they get to doing that movie, she's going to start growing. Like you know, she don't stop because of the movie.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to be like time passed. She's a young teenager. By the time if they do it, I don't even think they are. But if they did, that would have to be the case.
She's like 12 years old.
Yeah. So by the time they would get themselves together to do a X-23 movie, she'd be 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, it's a big difference too in kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So he couldn't do it. Actually, she would fit the comic, I guess, because she would be at that right age.
Yeah.
For the comic.
Yeah. But I loved her in that movie, and I love Tom Holland also. I think he to me reminds me of, he just seems like the classic Spider-Man that I remember as a kid. Whereas Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, it always felt like these are older people trying to be kids, trying to play
course.
The role of a
written,
kid.
Yeah, they were written old. I think at least Garfield had more of the heart of it, right? Like he had more of the emotional stuff, the conflict with that. They captured it more. Holland, it's me having to wrap my head around this new version of Spider-Man, because when we came up reading Spider-Man, he didn't hang with anybody. He was not a team player. This was a spider. Like if you read that you read those old Spider-Man stories, he was a Spider-Man that went through a lot of stuff. Like he was still angry about Ben being dead. He kind of had to use the suit. Like when he put on that suit, it was his rebellion. You know, that was kind of how he kind of got to be another person. Like you know, like he didn't have to be Peter Parker who had to work and had to worry about Aunt May and had to, you know, they were sickly Aunt May and all that kind of stuff. Like, he felt constricted, right, when he didn't have the suit on top of being bullied at school every day. He was angry. There were times where he was angry in the books.
Yeah.
And he quit. There were times when he quit. There were times he came back. There were times he had to deal with, there was no Jonah, calling him a villain every 5 minutes. He didn't have to deal with that. Cops were coming cops were going after him when he was a kid. You know, he was a villain.
Yeah. He did have, like, some of the kids in the movie, though, date back pretty far into the comics. Like, I mean, Ned was there pretty early on in Amazing Spider-Man, right? And And I think I didn't know this, but she actually appeared before Peter Parker even did in, what was it? Amazing Fantasy? Is that right?
Fantasy. Yeah, Amazing Fantasy, yeah.
Even though she wasn't super relevant, but she still was like appeared 2 pages before him.
Oh yeah.
But I get what you're saying. But I don't know. This movie kind of did that though. He was sort of the loner, and that's why they had a problem with him the whole movie, because he kept going off doing his own thing, and everybody else wanted to pull him in.
Yeah, he wasn't, and he wasn't, because he wanted to be. I mean, like, he wanted to join the team, and it was this whole thing with Tony. Like, that was even, you know, like, that's a new dynamic. Like, even though he was inspired by superheroes, there was a reason why he hung with the X-Men and not the Avengers back in the day. He you know, like, because he felt that whole feeling of being an outcast.
Yeah,
that was him. He felt that. Like, he didn't get down with the Avengers because the Avengers were treated as heroes.
Right.
Like, he didn't know he didn't know that life. He was like, he used to daydream about it. Like, wow, imagine if I was treated like a hero instead of a villain all the time, even though I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Like you can't win for losing. That type of thing. Like, that's out. Like, that in this Spider-Man, he doesn't have that kind of conflict. There's only... You know, even, I mean, there's a little bit with the cops, like when he was on the monument and the cops were going to shoot him. But that was the only part where the cops were like, you know, you're a bad guy for the most part. Like, there wasn't a school, you know, like, you didn't have the newspaper constantly saying this dude's a menace. You got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Right. You know, his pushback was Tony and Happy. Like, that was.
It was them holding him back from
his back,
main goal, which was he was like an Avenger wannabe. That was his.
Right. And having a friend that knew his powers was another thing. He didn't have a friend that knew he was Spider-Man back then. Like, his only homie was eventually became Johnny Storm.
Yeah, no, this movie felt like they were playing more on the Miles Morales and
oh, totally. This is totally Ultimate Spider-Man world.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, I thought that worked on the screen.
It's for the crowd that's now. It's for the now crowd. So
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what you know going in. That's what they're going with.
Yeah, there was weird things in this movie, and not bad, but if you're familiar with the characters. There was weird things like that. You're like, okay, this is Ned, Peter Parker's friend, but he looks and the relationship is like Miles Morales. And then they had Michelle, but she's playing the role of – it seems like they're setting her up to play the role of Mary Jane, even with that MJ plug at the
gotta
end.
Gotta be.
It's like, why is that happening?
Right, and this is not an MJ that we know. Like, this don't look like somebody who's going to be a supermodel.
No, she's well, in real life she does, but in the movie she's edgy.
She plays an edgy outcast. Yeah. They probably will go with she still had bad parents, right? They'll probably have that in it. I think eventually that's what we're going to find out, is that she has an alcoholic father, right? Yeah. I think they'll keep that part. But I don't think this is going to – I mean, you could eventually do that, but I don't think they're going to do that. She goes away, becomes a supermodel, and comes back home. I don't think they're going to do that.
Right.
But But I could see them going with I'm the outs. You know, she feels the outsider thing.
Yeah.
She already has a crush on Peter. You can kind of tell. Yeah, like when she says, sure. I don't care. You know,
oh, yeah. That's totally going to be a story in the next,
yeah,
in the next one.
They stayed on her face. Like her face was like she changed. Her facial expression went from I don't care what you do to I do care. And you know, like it was that.
And there's no other reason for her to do that MJ line at the end except for comic fans to be like, okay, I get where this is going. I mean, there's no other reason.
Exactly. But I kept waiting for what name she was going to drop so you know who she's going to be. That's what I kept waiting for.
What did they called her Michelle, though, didn't they? Or did they?
They
I don't
did,
remember.
But I needed a last name to see what, if there it was going to be an MJ thing or
Michelle
or somebody
Jones.
Else.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I know who she is because I've read so much about the movie, and I don't even remember, though, if she actually said her name until MJ. She might not have.
I think they called her something. They did call her a first name. They did have a first name. And then she eventually said, call me MJ.
Yeah.
It was like a nickname, I think, or something.
Yeah.
The way it was.
But you know what? That stuff, even though it was, they're sort of toggling between the Miles and Peter Parker characters. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind that. It sort of gave you something to think about once you left the theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading both. If I didn't read Ultimate, if I never read Ultimate, like I've read all the issues of that too. But if I never read it, I'd probably feel like, what is this?
Yeah.
But I read it, so it's like you kind of get it. You get what stuff they're pulling from, what stuff they're not. It's just funny to see him be Ned, and I keep thinking of Gonky. What's his name? Kept saying, like in my head, that's what I kept seeing.
And I wonder if it was a nod to the people, because there was a lot of people who wanted this to be Miles Morales. They were like, we've done Peter Parker over and over again.
I think the Prowler is going to be, when he said nephew, I think that Prowler is going to be the ultimate version Prowler, not the 616 Prowler.
Donald Glover?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the ultimate comics version Prowler.
Okay.
For Miles.
Huh.
And I think that's what direction they're going in. When he mentioned, you know, I can't have this because my, you know, I don't want these weapons in the street because I have a nephew.
Oh, right.
That, I was like, okay, I see what direction they're going into. Because the ultimate version, Miles, you know, the Prowler was close to Miles, right? And and then eventually, and he was a villain, right?
Right.
That whole thing. And you know, this world has S.H.I.E.L.D., right? So I can see.
And they toggled that line with in this movie with him. I mean, ultimately he did the right thing, but he's still sort of set up to be a villain.
Right. He's still gonna be bad. He's still gonna do bad things. Yeah. But
and I don't think you can cast Donald Glover in that role and not play on that later. I mean, it's too popular.
Come
of a
on, there's no
actor.
Way. It's like we know you're too old to play Miles. Like the direction we're going into, there's no way we can make it plausible for you to be Miles unless we shoot it into the future, right?
Yeah.
But it'd be cool though if you could play Prowler and you be the uncle.
Yeah.
And then you have that dynamic of what if Prowler had to deal with Peter? What if he became like an informant type thing for Peter down the line, right? Like he gives Peter information again. Like he's the if they go the direction of what if he becomes the what's the character in Daredevil always gets beat up all the time, but he gives him information. Ah, Turk. That's who it was. Turk. Yeah, I think he'll be like the Turk of the Spider-Man movies. He'll be the guy that kind of knows what's going on in the criminal world because Peter Parker's not going to know that stuff. He's too young.
Right.
This Peter's not going to know what criminals are doing. He's not going to know where the, you know, all these little deals and stuff are going on, you know.
So it'll be interesting since they've already plugged Miles.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, the only reason for Miles to be like, even in the comics, for him to exist the way he exists right now is because Peter Parker is old now and has kids and is running a corporation. And like people like me don't like that Peter Parker. So hey, let's give you Miles Morales. Here's another young version, energetic, dealing with the teenage stuff as well as being a superhero. But Peter Parker or Tom Holland is so young that it's like, how could you? It would be redundant to bring Miles Morales into the picture.
Only thing I can think of is by the time Miles becomes a Spider-Man type character, Peter will be in an entirely different place. Like, either he'll be an Avenger now, and he'll have to kind of do the heavy lifting and won't be street level anymore like he used to be. I don't see him ever being rich, but I can see him being Tony's dead or gone. You know, like, I wasn't thinking Tony would be dead after Avengers Infinity, but now that I see that him and Pepper are back together, and there's a ring mentioned, I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
That's a setup. I've seen The Walking Dead enough to know how this plays out.
Yeah, that's a tragedy right there. That's a tragedy. Like, I'll just, you know, finally, I'll settle down, right? That's, you know, that you'll finally do that. Nope.
Yeah.
You gotta die when a character does that.
But even then, even if, because they've said, I mean, the Marvel Universe is going cosmic in the next phase, starting with Infinity War. Right. So even if Spider-Man has a bigger role in that stuff, like post Captain America, because Chris Evans isn't renewing his contract either, and if Robert Downey Jr. is not in it, if he fills that role, it's still going to be a young, silly Tom Holland playing the character, which is like, even if it's a different context, it still seems like it's two of the same characters in the movie universe, which is weird to me.
Kinda, I know, it's going to be weird. It's going to be totally weird. We'll see how they do it. We're used to it. But, I mean, considering that it's the movies and they're not going to do a movie every year, they'll be farther apart than we think. And you have him, Black Panther, Captain Marvel.
Or maybe they just plant the seed now, and in 10 years from now, they can dig it back up or let it bloom if they want to wait that long.
Either way, but I could see them setting it up where, right, like, even with the foreshadowing of he was about to join, you know, like, they were about to have a press conference, have this dude be Spider-Man. He was going to get Avengers access and all that. They don't usually throw shit out there unless they're going to call back to it later, right?
Yeah. Well, we know he's in Infinity War, so.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is, even in these Marvel movies, when they mention something, most superhero movies, like, if I put a bullet down in a movie, it's going to be used. If I tell you a phone, if I'm giving you a phone, it's gonna be called back again later. Like, if I mention a specific name to you and be like, this particular person I lost, best believe that means that they're gonna find that person mysteriously is gonna come back. He's not dead, you know, like, that's kind of what they do. I could see them, he's going to have that press conference. I could see down the line a movie where, unless talks break off with Sony, but if everything stays calm and together like it is right now, I can already see that movie where they go, Spider-Man has joined the Avengers, you know, like the press conference, the whole nine. Like,
yeah, they're going to have to.
They're going to have to do that. And Cap's gone.
Captain Marvel is going to get introduced, and they're going to have sort of that a new lead group of people.
Right. And maybe, you know, I'm not saying Peter would be the leader of the group, but he'd be on the team.
He's going to be, he needs to be significant. And people like him.
Well, that's why you don't need to have him on the team. He's the wild card. He's the guy that, you know.
Yeah.
You go do this, I'll go do this.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what, it'll work out because I'm Spider-Man. But,
right. Well, like, Civil War, I thought he helped make that movie, even though he was by no means like front and center and the story had very little to do with him. But when he showed up, it changed the movie, just having him, you know.
I guess it did. My dude was Black Panther. I didn't care nothing about Spider-Man when Black Panther was in that movie. He was that was too cold, smooth.
Yeah. Well,
that
both of them, dude. He was the same. I agree. I totally agree. But they were both two completely different characters, but they – both elevated that movie, their existence. And I guess he had more of a meaningful role when it all was said and done.
Yeah, it was a different Spider-Man for me. So he kind of was like, like you're so young. That's the old man me. I admit it. It's the old man me who has read so many comics of him being a kid, where I'm in adult mind of him. Like I'm in the adult mind, so it's like I have to rewind myself.
Yeah,
to kind of remember how that, you know, like him as the kid again. It's like going back for me. So when he's in it, it's like Black Panthers, but he's still an adult. Like Captain America, adult. Like they're all adults, but for Spider-Man to be back to that. To that phase.
Well, they need that though to balance it out some.
Well, you have to. Of course you're gonna have variety. To. You got. To, I mean, to do this thing with Spider-Man, to build it back up again, you got to go back.
Yeah.
Because there's just been too many Spider-Man movies to keep it around that same age. You just gotta go back and start from scratch and do it all over again. So you gotta go. You gotta go real young. Gotta go real young, start from the beginning, that whole nine. And on top of that, we'll see what happens with Captain Marvel. I don't see Black Panther being a failure either.
I hope not. I just don't see it failing. I don't either. I'm more worried about Ragnarok, because people are really fired up for that movie. And the preview looks awesome.
Yeah, but
it's the same people who did the first two, which did not.
That's a wild
work out.
No, the one that did the first one is a different director than the second one. Remember,
Thor different director. One and two.
Yeah, the guy that did Thor one is different from the director that did Thor two. Kenneth Branagh only did one.
Okay.
Somebody else did two. And that was rushed.
Oh, Dark World was Alan Taylor.
Yeah, that was rushed because they fired. The original director was supposed to be was a woman.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken. And they fired her, or she left. One or the other. They fired her, or she left. And they had rushed that script.
Yeah.
To get it in order.
Yeah, so I'm totally off, because it's a completely new set of directors on
this is a new they had to, because that's like the lowest, I think that did the lowest for them.
Yeah, it did. And they're trying to correct
They had to set it up. That's why you got Hulk in it.
Right. Oh yeah. They're trying to pull out all the bells and whistles. And they're using it to springboard into Infinity War.
Right.
So it's going to be important.
And if anybody needs to probably re-sign, even if they have to take a pay cut, it would be the actor that plays Thor. I mean, nothing against them, but Chris none of the Hemsworth. Movies he's done. Like, I like him. I love him in the Thor movies, but none of the movies he's done outside of the MCU movies have been hits.
Well, that's how I feel about Chris Evans. Like, I don't care about him at all as an actor. He's not compelling. Other than he plays Captain America.
Evans has been in the business longer, and he's really into doing other things. Like he's a different dude. He's really into, you know, he's very much into wanting to do different kind of stories, and he's made enough money now that it's like, if he really wanted to, he could, you know, like he doesn't have to. By principle, like he could say I quit and really mean it. Like it's not like he. It's not like he has to.
He's not Robert Downey Jr., though.
No, he's not. Robert Downey Jr. is not Robert Downey Jr. because he had no hit outside of Sherlock Holmes and the MCU. Find me a hit that he had after that.
After that? But he had stuff before that.
Yeah, but, I mean, his career was done. Before Iron Man, his career was done. This is the second coming. This is the second coming of his career. And outside, every movie he's done after that, even Sherlock Holmes 2 wasn't that good. Was it received very as well as 1?
Right.
So every indie movie he's tried to do or vehicle for just him, it did not work out.
Yeah. But he's had, I mean, you can go back to the 80s, and he had a name before the whole drug thing.
Oh, sure. He was a star. He was supposed to be a megastar. If he didn't get hooked up in them drugs like that, he would
I remember him in Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. I think that was the first movie I saw him in.
I remember him too. When I went to the movies, Less Than Zero was the movie where I looked at him and was like, "Yo, that's a good actor."
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like the first time I had seen that dude in something, and I was like, "That dude is great."
Yeah, and Marvel owes a lot to him, because I don't know, they probably would not be what they are today if they had cast somebody else in that role as Tony Stark.
Might not be as strong. Like, he became that role.
Yeah,
like it blended in. It blended. Like he became that role. That role became him.
Yeah.
Like it happened when it needed to, for both their sakes, for Marvel starting it out and for him needing a renaissance to kind of get him back into, to give people confidence that he could work again.
Yeah. So
and safely.
I thought you were going to go lack of substance on Spider-Man Homecoming. I thought that would be your criticism, because that was your criticism with Guardians, that it was just all play and no.
You gotta admit, I mean, Guardians is not very deep. Come on, I'm serious. Like it's not. You gotta admit.
Here's what I think.
Uh huh.
I think so. The stuff with Star-Lord's father and Yondu raising him, and that relationship, and then also the Nebula, Gamora sort of rough relationship, and the whole childhood issues that they had to deal with. I thought that stuff was really meaty. I don't think the movie gets the credit for it, though, because it's wrapped in sort of a comic. You know, it's surrounded by jokes and raccoons.
Because he did it, but to be right, they did it to themselves. Like James Gunn. And I'm not the only one that said it's lack substance. Even people that really loved the film, one of the things they had to say was, you know, like it wasn't really that, you know, and deep. If you like, you know, like it had things from the first one, it seemed like they just added more to it, but it really didn't get too deep, right?
Well, I know I'm on an island saying that. And I felt that was also how I felt coming out of it. I was like, okay, that was just a really fun movie. But the more I thought about it and tied it into my understanding of like Nebula and Gamora from reading the Jim Starlin stuff and like their relationship with Thanos, it seemed a lot weightier than it did when I was just sitting there watching the movie. And I'll say it seemed a lot more substantial than any of the storylines in Homecoming.
Yeah, Homecoming, it wasn't like Homecoming was like the deepest film either. I mean, they even took out the grief part of Peter Parker in this movie. There's no grief here. There's no signs of grief.
Yeah.
In this. Like that takes a lot out of who he is. Like if anything, they added his thing was more having a sense of wanting to do, you know, wanting to help, wanting to find his place, not being able to getting to the point where what kind of superhero are you going to be, right? Yeah. Are you going to be a hero that runs, jumps in a plane, goes out, fights Galactus? Is that the kind of guy you want to be? Or you're the superhero who will sit there and help an old lady they take her purse.
Yeah.
You know, like what do you want to be? Like, do you want to jump for the big stuff, or do you want to, you know, kind of work on your, you know,
And that's why I thought you would not like the lack of that in Spider-Man, because I know you were really your favorite MCU movie was Winter Soldier. Cap movies were the best, to me,
Cap's whole storyline, all three of his movies I think are the best of the MCU for me.
And Wonder Woman was the same way. It was It was deep.
They had similar themes. They had very similar themes, and because both of these people come out of, they come out of the past, right?
Yeah.
So you coming out of the past and having to deal with the things you have to deal with. I mean, there's going to be a lot of those themes.
It's just so much. It's just so much nicer watching Gal Gadot do that, though, than Chris Evans.
Well, I mean, you know, when you look like Gal Gadot, I mean, it's more fun to watch her do anything,
right?
Over watching Chris Evans do it, if that's who you got to look at. I mean, and even with Cap, there's a sense, which I don't know why they take it away from him, but. They take away any sense of relationships out of his life. Like, even Wonder Woman, you at least had, even though it was taken away from her, but still, her and Steve had some type of romantic relationship.
Well, that's what, but that's what Peggy Carter was, and she didn't die.
I know,
until
but
Civil
they made,
War.
But they made him such a. Such an almost Jesus-like figure. It's like,
right.
He kissed one girl and that was it. Like, it was like, and then he doesn't kiss another girl. Like, they don't mention him being with another woman.
Yeah.
More than a kiss.
Wait, didn't he kiss Scarlett Johansson and
to not die, to not get attacked by the Kill Squad.
And it threw him off
more than anything. Black Widow was like, "Hey, that's just a part. Like, let's do this real quick."
Yeah.
And she was kind of making fun of him too, being flirtatious as part of it. You know, that's kind of what she's trained to be.
Yeah.
To make people comfortable around her when she wants them to be, and then to not. Like, that's part of her agent.
Right.
You know, being an agent, you kind of want to learn and work. You know, kind of want to work the room. That's kind of part of it. Is she knows what to do. Even when she even flirted with, like, which is being an agent. I mean, it may not be something that other women would like to see too much of, because she's the only woman on the Avengers at the time.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want her to have to be sexual with every guy.
Boy, she's making the rounds.
Right. But in the comic, that's kind of how she was. You'd be seductive. Yeah. You kind of want to.
Right.
Because they underestimate you. Like, when you do that, you can kind of. The room kind of is more comfortable, yeah. and they underestimate you. And when you might have to come up against them later, their guard will be down. So, you know, like, even when she says hey to Sam, she says it that way. She says, hey.
Yeah. And,
you know, like, right?
And Scarlett Johansson, like, let's be honest, she's like the actress that all the guys are sitting there drooling over. So,
of course, that's why you pick her.
That's like, why you cast
that's
her.
That's why you. That's why you cast her, because Black Widow should be that. Like,
right.
She should be the hottest woman in the room. He could be in a room full of supermodels. She still should be the hottest woman in the room.
Yeah.
Even if she's wearing nothing but jeans and a t-shirt. She is still the one in that room where everybody's like, who is that?
Right.
That's, you know, so you cast right for that. I think but the only thing that's probably... Like, I think Joss Whedon kind of came up against that was when she's the only person, the only female on the team, and you don't get to do much with her.
Right.
What you do comes off kind of crazy. Like, if they had another woman on the team before that, and mm-hmm. you kind of could do something with her, maybe have her romantically linked with somebody if you wanted to put her up with Bruce, and there's really no development before that movie. It comes off as kind of weird. Like, why would those two characters come together like that? It just didn't, and the audience just didn't like it.
Yeah.
It was just too soon. Like, they didn't get it. Like, if she had her own movie, and then you kind of develop something, that's one thing. But because they didn't have she didn't get a movie, it kind of was like, oh, why you had to do that? Like,
right.
There's just, you know, that whole thing. So, she suffers. Like, her character suffers. For that, so we'll see what happens with Captain Marvel. Like, you know, how is she going to be? How is she going to relate to
right.
the Avengers? Like, I would hope though that they would link her more with Nick Fury.
Yeah, well, he's
being.
I think is he cast in Captain Marvel?
they said that he will be in it, but they didn't specify the role. Like, it could be, she could be the dude that comes at the end of the end of the credits.
Right.
For all we know, the way they worded it, it was like the way they worded it, how he was in Iron Man.
Yeah.
One. So, like, that could mean nothing. That could just be, hey, Avengers need you. You know, join at the end and then be gone or something. But it, I think it would, I would love to see, I would have really have loved if they did one movie. Only had to do one of Black Widow, Hawkeye, and Nick Fury about being in S.H.I.E.L.D. Like that one movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think they said they're casting some of the characters in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. into one movie. I don't remember which one it was.
Mm-hmm. Because it was such a strange flip from...
They're supposedly... I don't remember which characters, but they're going to be in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
Which is not really the direction you're saying.
Yeah. They might be like a throwaway kind of thing. Because it's weird. Because it's kind of weird how they flip it. Like, there's supposed to be no S.H.I.E.L.D. on the show. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is like in a totally different place. There's no real S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like a small group. But then you have all these S.H.I.E.L.D.-like looking people in Avengers 2.
Oh, right.
So it's like, what are they? Are they just support?
Well, but that was before things broke down on the show. Now you're talking about with the way it is on the show?
Well, it didn't sync up with the movie, didn't really sync up well with the show, or how the show was, because I watched both. I watched the show, right? I'm a regular watcher of the show, and it didn't like link, even though it did. They kind of, the last time they linked up was when they had it where their whole mission on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., part of their like 4-part episode was them, we didn't know this, but was getting the helicarrier. It was a secret, like them getting the helicarrier and getting it ready.
Yeah.
That was a secret, but that was it. That was like the closest we had. After that, it was once they did the Accords.
Right. The movie, the show played off of this Sokovia Accords.
Right.
It seems like it's going one direction. The show's trying to play off of the movie, but the movie's not.
They want
other than bring in Peggy. Well, Peggy Carter wasn't in S.H.I.E.L.D. She was in Agent Carter.
Her own, right.
Yeah. So. Other than like that first Captain America movie, there was really, there's been no backwards influence.
No, and they really messed up an opportunity with Peggy. Like, it's probably her show should have never been on ABC. It probably should have been.
That was a great
a
show.
Netflix show.
I loved it.
It wasn't a bad show, but it wasn't a show that most people wanted to watch do.
People didn't get into it.
No, they wanted the Peggy from the movie. And what I mean by Peggy from the movie is they wanted a movie to feel. They wanted Peggy to be in an adventure that felt more relevant to the films. Like it felt more bigger, real world.
Yeah, but they had the Tony Stark's dad. I forget his name, but they had the stuff with him, which I thought was a nice little.
It was. It wasn't a bad thing, but that wasn't what. Most people wanted. They wanted to see Peggy building S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I don't think most people were even watching it to care. Yeah, you're right.
No, they weren't. They weren't. Like the audience that they got for Peggy started watching it, and most dropped. They were done.
I know some people are calling for them to bring it back on Netflix, though, which might, I don't know.
I mean, they could, but I mean, because they never really touched on her building S.H.I.E.L.D., like her two seasons. We're so far away from it. Like, we didn't even get, like, any kind of... There was really no real Easter eggs or seeds planted in those... In the two seasons.
Well, it was like S.H.I.E.L.D. It was the, you know... The influence is going one direction.
Yeah, it was like...
And the same with the Netflix shows.
Yeah.
They'll mention stuff in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, it sort of has to be that way, I think, because S.H.I.E.L.D. is different, because S.H.I.E.L.D. is very influential in the Marvel, the large scheme of Marvel.
With Peggy, though, being in the past, There was so much you could have did with her on a Netflix show if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, you could have had her with the Howling Commandos. Like, it wouldn't be an expensive show.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, like, you're not doing special effects. You're just doing, it's more with action. You're just paying for stunts and stuff like that. So imagine if you did, like, a eight-episode thing or an eight-parter on Netflix where it's a specific mission that they're on. And that, and then throughout that mission, you kind of get some seeds of this is how S.H.I.E.L.D. came about to where it is. You know, like this is what we did to kind of build it. Like I think you would have gotten a much bigger audience to watch it on Netflix. I think it would have helped to really push.
Well, but I mean, in their defense, that was before that show started before Daredevil. And Daredevil, I don't think they had any clue that it was going to be a successful. I mean, I think they signed it for one season, and they thought it would be a one shot.
I'm sure.
So maybe they'll bring it.
It's hard.
Who knows?
It's ABC. Like it's hard. Like it's hard when you're putting it on a network.
Yeah.
Especially a network where you want to air it at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and they might face the same thing with Inhumans.
That's going to be interesting to see how that holds up, too, because looking at the trailer, it looks more like an ABC show than it did a movie, even though AMC is paying for part of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be weird because you see take it back to Spider-Man. It's going to be weird to see the Spider-Man street level, right? Are they going to mention Spider-Man in any of the next MCU movies, shows? Like, because they are street level.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not that far. I mean, he's in walking distance from Hell's Kitchen, right? Or he could, or maybe not walking distance, but Subway.
He's a jump on the 7 train, ride the 7 train, like 30 minutes. And he's in the city.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you swing in and you're there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But man, they have so many characters now that they got to create these sort of pockets. And like, I know a lot of people, like fans have been saying, oh, they got to bring Daredevil into Infinity War. They need to make an appearance in the movies.
No.
And I think that's totally the wrong direction.
Yeah. They don't have to do that.
That's going to turn into the continuity problems they have in the comics if they start trying to do too much.
No, what they have to worry about is you have to have, you cannot tell me that you're not going to have in Daredevil season three, you better show me Damage. Like there's no way New York is going to be rebuilt that quick. Like that was another good thing they did about with Spider-Man Homecoming. One of the positives were, they showed you, an invasion causes a lot of freaking damage to an infrastructure of a city, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot to deal with. Like,
The whole villain, all the villains they have set up for this movie and the next ones are based off of that alien tech.
Right. And then they also to show that these guys for 8 years have been robbing Damage Control, the group Damage Control, they've been stealing. So no one's really been carefully monitoring these weapons. They've been getting out, right? Of course, Avengers, they're only jumping out to fight the end of the world type stuff, the things going on top of fighting themselves.
Yeah.
Right? So there's going to be a lot that's going to be left. A lot of crimes that the police are not going to be able to deal with. Plus, S.H.I.E.L.D. is a mess.
Yeah.
Like, they're villains again. Like, you know, like, at the end of the season of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, they're pretty much back to being villains. They go from here, you know, heroes, villains, outlaws, heroes, outlaws. You know, they go back and forth.
Yeah.
Other words, no one's checking. Like, there's nobody really checking these little things. There are pockets of things that are not being taken care of because Nick Fury ain't in charge anymore and you don't really have an eye in the sky. and right. it's a mess, right? So I do like that they show that, like, these are part of the groups. Now, why can't we, in the next Luke Cage or something, this is what I want to see Luke Cage fight. Somebody, a threat, like a real threat using alien tech. Not like Diamondbacks, you know, like at the end, that terrible suit. But I mean, real, like, enhanced people where it's not so easy for him to just come in the room and just smack people in the head and yeah. throw people around. Like, that's what I want to see. Like, there should be a lot of this going on where yeah. you have to...
I thought Wilson Fisk was a great villain, but I haven't been into any of the villains other than him. I mean, really, all the Marvel stuff has had weak villains for the most part.
Well, this has been the strongest one. And this MCU Who? Movie. This oh, MCU yeah. movie yeah, yeah, with...
Keaton.
The Vulture. It's the strongest one we got. Like, yeah. the most... Because he's got the most backstory that right. we've seen.
They got
in a villain.
I think they have to, Thanos has to be just completely badass. If he's not, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, if he's somebody that they beat in one movie, I'd be disappointed. I'd be really disappointed. No.
Well, we know he's going to be in at least two movies.
He's got to be. Like, I don't even want to see them really fight him until the very end of Infinity.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see him wipe them out. Like, when he comes into the fight, like, they think they're winning, and then he comes into the fight, and it's like, no, we not. We are not winning this fight.
Well, I think they're going to have two layers. I think they're going to have Thanos, and then they're mm-hmm. going to have Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet. So they can defeat him and then totally take it up a notch in another movie with Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want him to be touched yet. Like I would.
Well, here's the thing, though. They're going to have a cast of like 60 some characters, and like 95% of them are good guys. Yeah. So I can see it playing out where one or two people go after Thanos and just totally get beat down. But
can
Thanos really hold off the whole squad of people without the Infinity Gauntlet? Like. That's a little too powerful.
I don't even think he would come the way that Thanos would plan it. I mean, he's a strategist. He doesn't just come at you. He would send, like,
he's not
he would plan it out. Yeah, he would weaken you. Like, he would send assassins and stuff to do things first.
Right.
Right? So you have a fractured team already.
Well, and they've been plugging him doing that behind the scenes for years now.
So,
even since what was it? What was the first movie he was in?
He was in Avengers. He was in Well, yeah, he was in Thor.
It was when Loki failed. They had the post credit scene with him saying, "Fine, I'll do it myself."
Right.
Giving you the idea that maybe he had, without Loki knowing this, he was somehow behind. What happened?
Well, that's the thing. He sent Loki like that, but that's a Thanos thing to do. Like, give this dude. Let's use Odin, right? Let's use Odin's son, bastard son.
Yeah.
To weaken Earth, right? Let's see what they got. So he sent them down there, got this army to work with him, and then they see, oh, okay, we got these are their mightiest. All right, let's see what we got. Let's see what we can do with this. So then but then you don't see him for so long, like, really be useful. Like, he's only in Guardians for a second mm-hmm. with the sisters. But I mean, I can't see Thanos not saying, "All right, you're my dude. That's what he does. He pretty much plays people against each other, and he's like, "All right, you're the most powerful." He doesn't mean it, but he's just like, what he's really saying is, "You're cannon fodder. I need you to go down to Earth, mm-hmm. pretty much. Do a lot of damage, fight these guys. They'll probably beat you.
Right.
But they'll be weakened like I want them to, and they won't be paying attention to what I'm about to do." Right? Like, I could see him coming in, grabbing that, kidnapping Vision, getting his soul, his gem, taking that gem from him. Pretty much hurting.
And that's why I'm saying he has to be badass, because...
He's got to be.
Because he's very intellectual. He's very much behind the scenes. But then also, when there is like hand-to-hand combat, people don't stand up to him very well at all.
No.
Whatever angle they take, I mean, he I think they he has to be legit on all those fronts.
He's got to wipe out Tony's team.
And he needs to be interesting. The character needs to be interesting because they haven't had a lot of interesting villains.
No, and they haven't. And they really haven't gave him any personality at all because we've got nothing but like 2 seconds of screen time from him at a time. So it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to really get that in there and then have him knock out Tony's team. Yeah. And then he has to make that call. Did you catch that they were saying that in Spider-Man Homecoming that they said something about another shield? A prototype shield? Huh. They said something in Spider-Man Homecoming when Happy was talking about the things that they were putting into the plane to take to move for moving day.
Right.
They said something about a prototype shield.
Huh. Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember
that.
I was like,
what do you mean prototype shield? Is that shield he used where his father never finished?
Like a Captain America shield?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what did they mean by that? Like, was it a cap shield? Because he gets it back. So, I mean, he leaves it with Tony.
What more does he need a shield to do?
I mean, they wouldn't throw that out there for no reason, right? It's got to be a reason why they put that.
See, I don't know because, and we're kind of circling back here now, but it felt like that movie, it felt like they planted a lot of seeds, and I don't see how they can all pay off. Even like, even the casting, which we already talked about, but having Sydney Moon show up, it's sort of like, hey, we're not going to do a Silk. I mean, there's not going to be a Silk movie coming out in the next couple of years, but it's there if they ever decide to.
If they want to, right? If the spinoffs work, if we can do these spinoffs, then okay. Yeah, I can see that being the case, and then you kind of move with that. But because I always thought if they do another S.H.I.E.L.D., it's going to be T'Challa doing it, like giving Cap a shield while he's with them in Wakanda. Like, he's got the materials, it's right there.
Well, maybe Sam Wilson gets a shield because somebody has to. I mean, Captain America is going to be out of the universe soon.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're going to go to that because even Sam Wilson don't got the shield anymore by the time the comic. I mean, he's back to just being Falcon again.
Yeah, maybe give Winter Soldier more of a role.
I think it's going to be Winter Soldier that would get the shield if Cap is taken down.
Yeah,
that's what I think because he has the super serum soldier serum in him too. On top of he's been trained and all that as well, and he's got that he has that great backstory of I have to atone,
right?
You know, for all the stuff I've done. There's so much you could do with that. And he's down. Like, that actor's like, I'll do it. Like, so Savage don't want to do it. I'll do it. There's a lot you can get off of that for a while.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the dynamic with that would be, you know, people wouldn't want to follow him too much because look what he's done.
Right.
Like, that'd be a kind of cool conflict if they really wanted to go down that road.
Right.
And imagine that movie. Imagine what dirt you could do with that movie. Especially if they keep the brothers on that and have him work with that movie, you know, keep working on that movie.
Well, they said they want to be more diverse in the next phase. That's one of their goals also.
So I would love to see what they do with that. Like, there was a lot of good Brubaker Winter Soldier stuff just sitting there to be mined that they haven't touched yet.
Yeah.
So, and that seems to be something that they really like, you know, that Brubaker stuff seems to be stuff that they really dug
right
about Cap. So I would like to see that. Like, I would like to see that new dynamic, see what they do with that. Like, especially to have T'Challa be on the Avengers. Like, what is that team going to look like?
Yeah.
Without, you know, Steve and Tony. Like, what is the Avenger going to be like without those two guys?
Man, maybe it'll be more like the Hickman Illuminati Avengers stuff where they had, who was it? T'Challa.
What was it? T'Challa. Was it? Of course, Captain Marvel.
Was it? No.
I
think it was Iron Man now that I think about it. But wasn't Doctor Strange a part of that? And I don't remember.
Well, Doctor Strange was, no, that was Bendis's New Avengers when Doctor Strange was in it. Remember? He came into it after whatchamacallit got killed off, after Brother Voodoo got killed off. And that was when it was Luke Cage.
No, but leading into Secret Wars, Hickman had his Illuminati team. And I thought Doctor Strange was in it. Yeah, like...
He had Cannonball, he had Sunspot, he had Hyperion, he did have Cap and Iron Man, though, and then they left. He was in their first, like, six-issue arc or something like that.
Namor was part of the team I'm thinking of.
Who?
Namor.
Namor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he was in it for a little bit.
I got it right over there on the bookshelf, but...
He was in it. Yeah, he was in it. Who else? Well, are you talking about the one... Because remember, they broke it into two teams. The secret Avengers team, which was the Illuminati, and then the public Avengers team.
Right.
Which was Cap.
Yeah,
that was Cap and everybody else, and then there was the secret one.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Maybe he would go more that route. It was sort of the behind the scenes people that were trying to figure things out.
It could, but you don't have Reed, man. It's gonna be weird without Reed,
right?
And they don't have Namor yet.
Yeah, they don't have him.
They don't have Namor yet.
Who has him? Is it Sony or Fox?
It's they said two people own it. Oh, that's the problem.
We'll never see him then.
It's a mess. That's what I'm saying. It's two companies.
They pull him in now. It's going to be too much like Aquaman anyways.
It's going to be hard to do. I mean, DC's
going to be pushing Aquaman hard, I think, here over the next while. So
they better. I mean, but Namor, you could do Namor. Just don't have him be a solo team. I mean, just don't have him be don't get a solo movie.
Yeah.
Just have him be a part of... the Avengers, man. Keep it that way. You don't have to, you know, you don't got to do too much.
Yeah, well.
And Namor's, you know, like, keep him, Namor be white. And
if they're going to get the rights back to somebody else, though, it has to be the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, and then Sony's trolling. They ain't giving that back yet. I mean, not Sony, Fox.
Fox. They're Fox not as cooperative. Trolling.
No, they're basically like, we have no incentive to let you have this back because y'all gonna get this back and you're gonna use it we're not gonna let you date her. We're not gonna get divorced because you're gonna whatever. get back together and then
let them make some more movies that they waste money on because nobody sees them. Maybe they'll.
But that's the thing. They'll do them. It's more like out of spite than it is anything else. Because they know. Even if it fails, it's like, but then that's still more time that you don't get to use them. And there's still more stuff that you have going on. The longer you keep them, the harder it is to put the Fantastic Four back into the MCU. That's the thing.
Well, they'd have to do something. They'd have to be like, it would be like their origin or something. There'd be kids again, and all the Avengers are old. So, I mean, it would be backwards. What they'd have to do.
Yeah, what they have to do. Or, like, I thought they could do a thing where, what if you have it where they went off into space and they got stuck in the negative zone? And then they came back, like, they were older, and they went off into space during the S.H.I.E.L.D. days. Of course, S.H.I.E.L.D. covered it up. And then they got caught in the negative zone, and then they get out, and then they come back. And it's like they're older, but they've missed all of this stuff.
Well, like that's what, like, we were talking about this on a podcast a while back, but I could, if they really start pushing the multiverse concept, which they started doing in Doctor Strange, I could see a situation, if they had the rights, where the Fantastic Four existed as like the fathers of the Marvel Universe, but in a another reality, and somehow making it leverage that way to where they could still be the Fantastic Four that we know, but sort of father them in that way. You know what I mean?
Well, see, that's the thing. Either way,
bring them into this universe after they've already been set up as the fathers of the universe in a different
universe. What's great about the Fantastic Four, which is also what hurts the Fantastic Four, is that they're pretty much a throwback.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it anymore. There's nothing like the Fantastic Four. And there's a reason for it, because it doesn't sell.
Yeah.
Like it used to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all like older comic fans that are.
It's older comic fans. So Reed works best. Reed doesn't work when he's a teenager, because that kind of takes away everything that's right. Reed. Right? So you got to have a way that you can have Reed be the adult.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they don't even do the comics anymore.
Yeah. Well, they don't own it. Like, they'd throw them around if they owned it. They'd have that book back again. But there's no incentive to do it.
Still pushing X-Men.
Yeah, but it's the X-Men.
Yeah.
Like, even though you don't own it and you could try to get away from the X-Men, it's still the X-Men.
Right.
So you gotta acknowledge it, no matter how much you. Yeah.
But even
you can push the Inhumans. You can push the Inhumans, which they did. Hard. They pushed the Inhumans hard.
Yeah.
But
people still want X-Men.
People still want X-Men. That's what I'm saying.
And that's like the Fantastic. When in the '90s, the stuff I was reading, the Fantastic, it was all X-Men. I don't remember the Fantastic Four being that popular, at least not with the stuff I was reading. And when I was like a little kid, there was no Fantastic Four lunchboxes, you know, at the store. It was Spider-Man, and it was Hulk, and Superman, and Batman. I had no idea who the Fantastic Four were until I really started getting comics.
No, that's an old... Fantastic Four is such an old man concept, right? You got like a 40-year-old man with a 20-year-old girl, her teenage brother, and his college friend who happens to be a pilot.
Yeah.
Right. Like, sure, that happens.
That's why the multiverse, I think, idea could work. Have them be in a totally different universe and do it the way you want it to. And then if you want to pull them in, you can cross universes somehow.
I guess, but the way they set up Marvel, that's going to be a little difficult, because they didn't set it up like that. Like, that'll be something to have to work with. Like, how do you get that multiverse thing in it? Like, they just got magic in it.
Right.
Recently. So now how do you do?
Yeah, there's no rumors of that stuff of Fantastic Four anyway. So it's just not going to be a thing.
Fox is like, F you, we ain't giving it to you.
Yeah.
So by the time
we're getting a legacy Fantastic Four comic, which is
no, they're not. It's not on the. There are no Fantastic Four legacy comics on the docket as we speak.
Yeah.
There's none. Unless they announce it in San Diego, there are no
Fantastic Four. I don't think they're going to.
I don't think they are either.
Just going to have to get used to it.
There's no incentive to do it. In fact, they're doing the 2-in-1, which is going to be Thing and Human Torch. So that kind of already says to me, no, Fantastic Four.
All that stuff does is like piss off older fans, though, because they don't want to see that.
I know. Well, they might jump on a 2-in-1 and see what happens, but you know that's a
yeah. Well, that would at least be better than him floating around with Medusa and whatever.
Exactly, because that just I never got used to that.
Right,
like him hanging around.
Yeah,
with,
it's weird. Or Thing with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I had no interest in any of that.
It made the computer in my brain just go, I don't compute that. I can't compute that. That's not Thing. That's not Ben.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be not with the Guardians of the Galaxy. He'd be out hanging out if he had to.
Right.
But it wouldn't be with them.
They're backing off of that stuff now anyways.
Oh yeah, that's forgotten already. It's a whole, like, they're on a whole new thing now.
The new Guardians book is really good. I can't get anybody to read it.
It's
good, just, man. They're tying in the movie characters, but they're bringing in some elements of that Abnett Lanning run.
What didn't sell me on it? Pacifist Drax?
Oh, yeah. The meditating. I don't know. I don't mind. It's a little bit weird, but.
That's a hard sell, man. It's
entertaining.
You tell me you're going to do a Pacifist Drax.
But Drax is so. He's so just a side character that I don't care so much if he's out of character.
Drax was my. Once they did the metamorphosis and he got from being the Hulk, he turned into Wolverine. And he became the mentor. Once he became the mentor for, not Star-Lord, he became the mentor for, what's the dude with the band? I can't think of it. They kill him off every couple of years. I can't think of his name. What'd you call his daughter took over for him? Moondragon, I think, took over with the bands after that. No, not Moondragon. Marvel's daughter.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Wendell. His name is Wendell. His civilian name. He was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent at one time, I think. A scientist. I used to collect the book he did too.
The Quantum Bands?
Yes, the Quantum Bands.
I'm trying to remember what you're talking about. Not Quasar.
Yes, Quasar. He kind
okay,
of
yeah, yeah, Wendell.
That's the, when they got him back and then he was a mentor to the new war from the guy from New Warriors, Richard Rider. Like
Right.
He taught him. He was kind of like a new mentor to him.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, but compare that to like the '90s Drax, and he's been thrown around so much.
I know. That's why I love when they did that 4-issue mini. I fell in love with him all over when they did that 4-issue mini where he went through the change again, and then. He was on that prison. It was basically Con Air.
Yeah.
He was on that plane and they crashed the alien prison ship and it crashed in Alaska somewhere, isolated, and it had the Blood Brothers was my favorite because that was one of my first Iron Man comics I ever bought when I was a kid was the one where he fought the Blood Brothers.
Yeah.
So that was one of my like cosmic villains. That was one of my first, really, and my love with Iron Man came out of that, like Iron Man and the Blood Brothers. So when you got that, when you had that whole thing where he pretty much like hunted them each down and killed them, that was when I was like, this is the Drax I always wanted.
Yeah,
like I didn't care. I mean, I read the old Starlin Drax. But it was like more like he would get mad and be in the way. Like he would get mad, he would get set off. He was a fool. He was basically always get made a fool by Thanos.
Yeah.
He would always do that. He would always punk him. Thanos would always be punking him.
Right.
But when they made him into this guy, he was a little weaker, but he was calculated killer. That was it. That was my dude. Yeah. That was my dude.
Right.
So I love that character. So I was in.
But they're back. But they're back to stupid Drax in the movie.
Yeah. That threw me off.
And you probably don't like that. You don't like that either, probably. And some people thought there was too much of him in the movie. But I thought he was awesome.
Well, he's easy to do the jokes with him.
Right.
So.
And Mantis, she was really out of character too. But I thought it worked on the screen.
They changed her too. It's gonna be. I'm eventually going to watch this thing when it comes out.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No. I only know what happens. I basically know what happens. But I'm going to watch this thing when it comes out on DVD. And I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to see how I feel about this thing. I'm gonna try not to get my pressure up when I watch it.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. And Martin liked it, too. And he had no reason to be,
I know. He said he enjoyed it. He said he enjoyed it. He said his daughter enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Even though she likes Suicide Squad more.
We both liked it more than the first one. Even though the majority of people seem to prefer the first one.
Which is so weird. I know that movie, the reaction of this movie is so interesting how people feel about it. Like, I'm talking about people that like it.
Yeah.
How you guys are. Some people like the first one more than the second one. Some people like the second one more than the first one. It's just surprising.
The second one is funnier. So if you don't like the funny part of it, you're not going to like the second one as much.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I didn't go to the movie to see it. I said, no point in me going to the movie to see it. I'll watch it when I'm at home.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Marvel, you know, like I'm a fan of...
I think the family stuff in it, I think is really meaty. You just got to think about it outside of the context of the jokes that are...
We'll see. I'll see what to do. I mean, we'll see when it comes out. It should be out, by Christmas?
Yeah, and now you know they've already said that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is going to center around Adam Warlock. So
I figured, even if
that movie sucks, it's already my favorite
Guardians movie. I already know. But I swear to God, all that is holy... If Warlock comes out of this movie and they F up his, if they twist it where he doesn't even have any recognition, you don't recognize him at all from Warlock.
Well,
this dude is a hippie. This dude, Warlock basically was a hippie.
And in the 70s, he was.
He was the 70s. He was a hippie. Like, new age. But he wasn't dumb. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't want him to... Don't go for the easy, just making him. Make him Drax.
That's what's going to be hard for me to accept. If he's as comical as some of these other characters are, he's never been like that.
Never been like that. I don't want Drax 2.0.
But they're setting him up to be a weapon. I mean, that's what he's being created for. So I think he has to have some level of seriousness to him. I hope James Gunn, I think he's really good at what he does, and I hope he says, okay, I did the extreme comedy thing with this one. We can't do the same thing over again.
I hope that's what he says.
And I'm only saying that because Adam Warlock's in it.
I know you are. I know you want him to be done right.
Yeah.
You want him to be done right. And I want that. Like, He should come off as a new age type.
But like Gamora. She has her funny moments, but she's not a funny character.
Yeah. They just don't do much with her though.
Right.
They don't really do much with it. Like I hope they use her more. That's another thing that I've heard a lot about her is that they don't use her in the movies much. She's more of like a parent. She's almost like a parent in the movies.
Well, her and Nebula were really strong, and it seems like that has – when Thanos starts getting in the thick of it, that's his daughters. They have to be front and center somehow, I think.
Oh, yeah, because he's the worst parent in the world.
I mean,
that's the one thing that they – the one thing they agree on is they both hate their father.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, that's the bond. That's the only bond they got.
Yeah.
Is that we had a father that pretty much tortured us.
Right.
All the time. Like – that's it. That's our bond. So, not that they would be friends, but they would at least, I could see them getting together just to beat the father because he's going to kill everybody.
Right.
Like, his idea of winning is we all die. Like, that's not winning. That's not winning if you want to live. So, I could see her turning in the third one. I could see... Well, in the third one, it'd be after. Wouldn't it be like after everything happened in the...
Yeah, and that's what I'm weird about also, because Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet is an Adam Warlock and Thanos story, and if they don't introduce Thanos till that's over,
what the heck is the purpose of him going to be now, right?
And they're rewriting this as an Avengers story. I don't know how that sits with me.
It's weird, man. It's going to be weird because
I don't think it's going to happen. but I hope he somehow shows up in the Infinity War, in one of the two movies, somehow.
Well, unless they build up the threat of the religious order sect, and the next one, the Guardians one, if they build that up, and then they add Mangus to that.
Yeah, I thought there was rumors about him being in Infinity War, which would be weird if he showed. Now, there's something going on with the timeline, though, because these Guardians of the Galaxy movies aren't happening in the same time, exactly in the same time frame. Exactly. It's not like Spider-Man, where it was clearly that this happened right after Civil War, and I don't remember off the top of my head, but there is a weird order to it. So it could be a thing where Adam Warlock shows up, and then his inception is sort of retrospective or whatever.
And Gunn also is going to be planning the next phase, right? Then they said it included him in the next phase of
Marvel. Yeah, they said it's going to be more cosmic, and that's what he's been planning.
Right. So if they do this whole thing with the religion, which Abnett Lanning did a lot of that, with them fighting the Universal Church. I mean, because that's the thinking about it, like that's the next biggest threat that I can that I can see. Like the next big thing that they'd have to really, really deal with is fighting that church. Like what do you do to fight that church? Then you have, and it's funny because Warlock goes through so many changes. Like, you know, like every time you have Warlock, you never know what aspect of his personality is going to be next when he goes through a change either.
Well, that's because they kill him off and then they don't bring him back all until like 20 or 30 years later.
Yeah, they kill him off like every
time. It's like, okay, characters don't look like you anymore. We got to redesign you.
Yeah.
That's why I can't be too picky, because it's not like if you're a Spider-Man fan, you can be really picky about Spider-Man because he shows up all the time. But with Adam Warlock, I can't be too picky because it's sort of like I'm just happy to get. I mean, just give me a comic. Give me one mini series with Adam Warlock in it. And
you better hope he lives longer than 5 issues.
Right.
Because he might not make it.
So it's like, do I want him to get it right, or do I just want something?
Yeah, because Abnett Lanning, he was in that book for how long before they killed him off?
Well, it's like 40 issues or something.
Yeah, but he's dead again. I mean, he was good. I loved it, but he died again. I was like, damn, he's dead again?
Yeah. Well, the good thing, I mean, the thing with him, though, is he goes into his cocoon. Him dying really means nothing.
No, it doesn't.
And it doesn't for any of the characters, but it's especially for him because they have a method in place for him to come back even before he dies. He's just going to be out in space floating in his cocoon.
That's his world.
All right, man. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yep.